morning, I will call us to order for the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, January 20th, 2015, and ask if everybody would please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on our agenda is public comment number one. We do have two individuals who wish to utilize public comment. I'm just going to take them in the order they were laying here. So first, we have Brett Johnson. Brett, at the microphone.
Okay.
Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you. Okay. I guess it's just simple questions. You know, you hear the rumors going around Story County.
Sure.
And so I guess I'd just like to hear it directly from your guys' mouth on funding for these new positions. Is that coming from the flex benefit money that might get taken away, or where is that coming from?
Yeah, I guess the answer that I would give you is first conversation that we're having today is reorganization under the board. That is zero new positions right there. Then we're having a second conversation that includes a new human resource generalist. That very clearly is a new position. It would come straight out of the general fund, which would be different than any benefits if benefits reside under the supplemental fund. It is my expectation, so two separate issues, it's my expectation that what you see Story County currently spend directly in flex cash is going to go up, not down, as we find a new system that we move to. So I would really caution against tying any of that together.
Okay, I understand it as a director of external operations.
Yep.
And a separate position for director of internal operations, correct?
Right.
And when asked last night, you said that that money would just go into the general fund. If we don't use the flex money, you said it just go into the general fund. So this money for these positions is coming out of the general fund. So I guess that's my confusion. If the money from the flex benefit that we don't use goes into the general fund, but these two new positions come out of that general fund, isn't that the same money?
Flex benefits come from multiple places, some rural, some general, some supplemental, some, I think there's some even in secondary roads, is that right? Mental health. It comes from all kinds of different places.
Right.
Where you're 100% correct is that the funding for these two positions, neither one of which would be new, they're already funded, they're already in the budget, comes out of the general fund, both of those positions. So you equate, I mean, if you're using bathtub approach, you can sure try to equate it that way. I'm telling you these
the bathtub
two.
Bathtub approach, I guess. I don't.
Everything goes in and then is drained out of one place.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is the salary of these new positions?
What is the salary of the two new positions, Alyssa? You want to address that when we get there? Okay, we'll address that when we get there on the budget. What else would you like to make sure that we have answered? We'll make sure that
no, those are my questions, I guess.
Perfect.
About the flex benefit, of course, but I don't know if that's actually an issue on here today. So.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And then next, speaking on the same topic, is Adam Christian. Hi, Adam.
Hello. I was at the meeting last night about the flex benefits. I've got some more questions that or more directed for the Board of Supervisors than it was for your expert that came in last night. So that's what these are going to be about. First of all, how long have you known about when or if the flex benefits could have possibly been affected by the Affordable Care Act?
When was it's two different answers as I see it.
Okay.
So the first inkling that I got personally that our flex benefits could be impacted was maybe 2.5 years ago. Jessica, you and I and Alyssa, that's the first visit we made down to Des Moines where the first time I met the lady who gave the presentation last night. And at that time, if I'm recalling correctly, I know what I took away from it was our flex benefits are fine, but there's a chance there could be a ruling down the road that would impact them. As I recall, we notified staff at that point that we don't expect any huge impact. I know it's something we talked about over the last couple of years that this could be coming. As far as knowing specifically what's happening, I found out on January 2nd of this year. I think I sent an email out on January 5th. So that was a Friday that I found out, and I sent an email out first thing Monday morning, as I recall.
So those are the two different dates then?
You asked, the question I heard you ask was, when did you know there was any possibility that our flex
right.
could be
right.
be asked. And what I'm answering you is I knew there was a possibility 2.5 years ago when we started looking at the Affordable Care Act. It's just at that point we qualified under everything we knew.
Okay.
And then when I found out that we did not qualify, the first time I found that out was January 2nd, 2015.
Okay. All right. What other options, since you were told 2.5 years ago that there could be that possibility, mm-hmm. what other options from 2.5 years ago up to this point have you explored in either getting around the Affordable Care Act or options to help your employees out if the potential became that those benefits had to be cut because it was illegal?
Well, from my perspective, again, I would say multiple. The first thing we did was we put out an RFP and selected an insurance broker. Then we asked that insurance broker to go get us as many bids for health insurance that complied with the ACA as possible. And what we found is nobody wants to touch Story County when it comes to health insurance benefits because of our system. We've got a terrible, terrible system in place. In terms of being able to provide really good health insurance. Those are the two steps from my perspective that we took, and then I will tell you that I personally, while others may not have been, I was completely caught off guard with this ruling because I felt then and personally still feel now that Story County provides adequate health insurance, the potential for adequate health insurance by giving every employee $575 to use how we all see fit. I think it does, but clearly under the rules that have come out from the federal government, it says it doesn't anymore.
So just basically you went and got a broker and an RFP. There wasn't any other options you explored on potential one-time salary increases or other ways of getting around?
I have never, ever, ever, and I'm speaking for me now, I have never viewed the flex benefit as salary. Now, that said, I completely recognize when I get, so 2 pay periods a year, we all get a check that does not include flex, right? I fully recognize when I get my check in those 2 pay periods that it's a different amount. I get it. But the reality was, and this, Wayne, this goes all the way back to when I was still a candidate for supervisor. I remember sitting out in the audience, and you guys, you were sitting in this chair right over here by Paul. So this has to be 2009 or so. You guys were talking about the possibilities of flex, and the statement was made very clearly by that board, and it resonated with me, and it still resonates with me, that flex is not salary. No matter how it's viewed, it's not salary. It's never been salary, and I've never tied the two together in my mind.
That's correct.
Okay. How long have you guys, as the Board of Supervisors of Story County, been given the flex benefit?
At least that long. I know it when I came on in 2001, it was in place. And
89 or 90 is an estimate. We can get you an exact date if you want one.
Okay.
This question I asked last night, I didn't get what I would consider a straightforward answer, so I'm going to ask it again. What are you going to do with the budgeted flex cash benefit for each employee that still elects not to take county-offered affordable insurance? So if I, right now, I get the flex benefit, mm-hmm. I go on my wife's plan. If it's deemed illegal, which you said it is, and I say, okay, I'm still staying with my wife's insurance plan, what are you doing with my $575 or anybody else's $575 that chooses not to take the county insurance? Where is that going?
Let me just maybe one quick comment before he comments. Those are great questions. And from my standpoint, you know, we have designated from the board Rick to be the lead person to represent us, working with Alyssa and any other potential outside insurance brokers and so forth, because of the nature of how we have to govern as a board, a three-person board. So he has been our lead person on this. So a lot of the background information and so forth, that questions that you're asking, you know, this is, I received them at the same time that the public was made aware. Alyssa called me into the office right after the day that she had received the memo from Susan regarding this, and I was taken back, and I raised a lot of questions because it had a direct impact on me, and that was the first that I had heard. Now, I had known over the last couple years The possibility certainly existed when they were starting to explore that, but we felt that from our standpoint and how we were operating, that we were providing what we considered affordable insurance package, even with by giving the 575. And so, therefore, I didn't see that this was going to be something that we were going to be directly told that we could no longer continue to do that. So there was no exploring any other option. There was some discussions that I have. I serve on the Iowa Association of Counties Board of Directors. And ISAC, through Wellmark Blue Cross Blue Shield, is part of, we're part of 26 Mark counties. That's part of the ISAC group insurance plan. So there's have been ongoing discussion looking at insurance options and things of this nature. When Alyssa came on board and as human resources, this has been an area that she has constantly, you know, been looking at, researching, and so forth, but no change of any substance have ever been talked about. That's why the RFP process was instituted, for us to go out and look out whether or not there were other insurance carriers out there that we could offer an improved or upgraded benefit package, health benefit package to employees. So that's kind of a little background. So a lot of this, from what you're hearing and what the rest of the employees have heard, we, Paul and I, received it the same time, you know, here, because of the structure that we kind of have in place right now.
Sure. And so we're getting a little off track of what this public comment is supposed to be, but I think it's really, really important that we try to address all these questions up front, and that we try to keep employees as well versed as possible. So I'm really going to try to answer your question. Your question, and help me if I'm missing it, was the 595 that employees get, right, when an employee doesn't take that. So I'm one of those that I'm on my wife's insurance. Probably no matter what Story County does, I'm going to stay on my wife's insurance, and so that 595 or part thereof at least is going to go away for me. Right. And as I understand your question, it is for that 595, what happens to it in Story County, and if Story County doesn't spend it, where is it going? Is that close to what your question
is? Exactly what it is.
Okay. So semantical, two different views, right? I think you referred to it as my 595, your 595, the employee's $595. It is, in actuality, a benefit package offered to Story County employees, and it roughly is $2.3 to $2.4 million, Lisa, that we actually spent last year in flex and associated cost, roughly $2.3, $2.4 million that Story County spent last year. I don't view it as 575 per employee. I don't view it as 575 per employee. I view it as a benefit pool, benefit package pool that to this point in time, Story County has divided equally among all employees regardless of situation. That is what's changing. I don't know exactly what our system's going to look like, but I personally, I've said this a couple times, I'll say it again now, I believe that we're going to create three different benefit levels for employees. Right now, it's all been the same. Every employee gets exactly the same, no matter what you take. I think we're going to end up with three. I think we're going to end up with somebody who takes family health insurance through Story County, and they are going to get a increased and probably greatly increased benefit package. You're going to look at somebody who takes individual insurance, either currently or in the future, takes individual insurance through Story County. We're going to see them get at least what they were getting before and probably a little more. And then the third category is going to be the ones I fall into and what I hear you saying you're going to fall into, that don't take any of the insurance from Story County, and their benefit package is going to be reduced. And when you combine those three different categories, I believe, looking at the initial numbers, that we're going to end up with a situation where Story County is spending more total than it is right now on this, on the health benefit package. It's going to mean that different employees get different things out of that benefit package. That's as close as I can come to answering the question. It's in a pool. It's going to stay in a pool. It's just going to be divided differently.
Okay. Another question I have is, do you intend to cut the benefits in July of this year, like you said, even if the Board of Supervisors and the unions that are within this county have not reached an agreement with regards to the union contracts?
I intend to follow the law. The law says that as of July 1st, we cannot continue to provide the benefit as we have been providing it. Somebody said last night, this tickles me, so I'm going to say it here in the public record. Somebody said, well, this isn't a real law. I mean, it's not like you'll go to jail if you violate this law. Listen, the law is the law. So we have really worked hard to follow the law here. We've done it with CAFOs. We've done it in every step of the way, and I don't expect that this situation is going to be any different for this board that on July 1st, Story County will be in compliance with the law.
Have you guys asked for a second opinion yet as to Ms. Freed's initial opinion that this is illegal?
We've had our county attorney and civil attorney both review it, and they agree with Ms. Freed's opinion. There are counsel. So now we've got our counsel weighing in one way and an expert that was endorsed. Is that the right word, Stephen? Endorsed by our recommended by our counsel. I'm really, really comfortable that the opinion is solid and valid.
Have you spoke with any other entities or any other businesses, school boards, other counties? Obviously, we're all facing the same issue and seeing what their take on it is or what they're doing to remedy the problem.
Alyssa, you're going to have to help me with this one. I believe that Story County is the only county in the state of Iowa providing benefits this way. We're the only one that are getting caught by this rule. So it's a misnomer, I believe, when people try to hold up other entities as doing the same thing that Story County's doing, but they're okay. Nobody that I know of is doing exactly the same thing Story County is doing to the level Story County's doing. A lot of places have much smaller flex benefits, but nobody that I know of, and absolutely no county in the state of Iowa, is doing what Story County is currently doing, and thereby are not in violation in this way according to the Affordable Care Act.
Okay. The other thing that was made clear last night by Ms. Freed is that if each employee that did take the insurance, if they didn't have to pay more than, I believe it was $175.
Scratch out the 100. It all depends on affordability, and based on our lowest paid employee, right, full-time employee right now, we got a lot of people, by the way, that make $9.50 an hour. They just don't, at this point, qualify as full-time employees. She was saying based on our current lowest hourly wage, it'd be about $175. For me, the $92 that she pointed out two slides before that, Adam, was much more important, and that's when you look at the federal poverty level. If nobody has to pay more than $92 and, was it 60 cents? More than that, then the Story County is okay no matter what.
Right.
And so look at it more like that.
We'll go with that number then, regardless of what number it is.
Sure.
Basically, my takeaway from that is she said that if no employee that was taking the county-provided insurance had to pay over what that level was, that the flex benefit was legal, correct?
For an individual plan, absolutely correct.
Okay. So if the Board of Supervisors made up the difference so that each person who elected to take the county insurance, which is only, 52 people, if they made up the difference so those people were only paying that $92 or that $175, whatever that 9.56% came out to be, then every other county employee could then keep their flex benefit, correct?
No, I don't believe that is correct.
No, it's not correct.
One of you two clarify that.
Not correct.
Okay. So currently, our single plan, we do have employees that do not pay more than the $92. So as far as meeting that 9.56%, we're okay. The issue is our employees have the option to take it in cash. When they have the option to take that in cash, zero goes towards the health plan. So that $92 you throw that out the window. It would mean that the county is not putting anything. Any of that money. Mm-hmm. So in order to get the amount that we put towards, which would be, you know, the five right now is technically 550 once you take the mandatories. So in order to say that that is actually going towards health insurance, you have to take the cash option off the table.
Okay. Does that answer the question, Adam, or not?
No, not really, because for each employee that takes county insurance right now, mm-hmm. do they still get $575?
No, but it has to do with every county employee. If any county employee can take it in cash, then it's deemed that they all take it in cash. So it does not count toward the health benefit, whether they take it or not, whether they take it or it goes straight toward the health benefit. If anybody takes the cash out, it's all gone.
Right.
Yeah.
But for those 50-some employees, if you made up the difference.
But
we already do. Technically, we make up the difference.
So if you make up the difference.
No, because you don't get credit for the $575 that you've already put in.
I'm not saying you get the credit. I'm saying if the county pays the difference, which she's saying you pay the difference.
So you're suggesting, then the only way that works, as I see it, is you're suggesting that we have a $575 benefit per employee, plus we pay health insurance for every employee that wants it. That's a, I mean, now you're talking about a $5 million bill. We don't have $5 million.
Okay. Okay. The last question is, have you looked at any other insurance options to make taking the county insurance more lucrative? Because there are other.
Yes.
City of Ames, mm-hmm. I don't know what their numbers are, but I can tell you there are probably a very minute number of city employees that choose not to take their insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So for some reason, they have good insurance, and I realize good insurance costs money. Mm-hmm. But what options have you looked at, because you openly admit that the county has a poor health insurance plan. You've said that.
Yeah.
So what options have you looked at to bring in a better health insurance plan to get those numbers up so that the county has more buy-in?
The chicken and egg. You're asking a chicken and egg question. So the county absolutely has a really poor health insurance plan. We don't offer poor health insurance. We offer a poor health insurance plan because of the flex benefit, so it's more lucrative for people to take the cash and go do their own thing. Stay on their wife's policy or go get a high deductible policy based on your current health conditions. You're not part of a pool. The reason that Ames works like it does is because if you don't take it, you don't get anything.
It.
So people take it, and they end up with a pool instead of 52 out of 350. They end up with a pool more like 95% of the employees taking the health insurance. You end up with a healthier pool. You end up utilizing percentage-wise your health insurance less as a group, and you end up getting better rates out of that. Right now, we've got as bad a rates as it's possible to have because generally the people that take the county health insurance now take it because they can't get it anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to do better than that. But it's not because the health plans that we offer are bad. It's because the mechanism we use to pay for it and the options that employees have. The Affordable Care Act, well, personally, I'm not a fan of the Affordable Care Act. I haven't been all the way through. That's a political statement. That said, it's achieving exactly what it's trying to achieve by forcing this rule on it, which is to make sure that for Story County, we're all in it together. Right now, it's every man for himself in Story County. You get your 575, and you figure out what's best for you. Philosophically, I really like that. That said, it makes a lot of sense if you're trying to do what the Affordable Care Act supposes to do, to say, no, Story County, you're all in it together. You should be operating together. That's going to mean that we have, over time, a much better plan with much better benefits at a much lower cost because we're all in it together instead of 360 people all going their own way.
Right. So you said it, that it would be lower cost if you got everybody to buy in. So if it's
How do you project that? But how do you project that right now?
I'm just going off of what you just said.
Absolutely.
No. You just.
But all I can project for next year, Adam, is where we are
now.
Today
right.
and what that cost is going to be.
Right.
Over time, I think you're 100% right. I just don't think there's a way to project that out or realize the savings early on. I mean, we've got a hard thing that we've got to go through right now, and it is this flex benefit, being able to take it in cash, going away. Paul, I think you said yesterday, I hope I'm not putting words in your mouth, that this is like ripping off, you know, it's like ripping something off. It's really, really painful at first. That's what we're going to go through. Everybody better just be aware of that. That is exactly what we're going to go through. We're going to end up with something better.
Well, the point I was trying to make there is you have acknowledged that if you get all the buy-in, if you offer a better mechanism, not a better plan, a better mechanism, mm-hmm. that it will lower health insurance costs, correct? In your
individual
mind,
plans will absolutely go down over time.
Over
the
time.
Problem we've got is they do it over a 5 years. It's a
right.
5 year rolling span
yeah.
for
right.
us to
and
get.
And I'm not debating that.
Right.
But
right.
you project lowering costs. So if you get a lot of people's buy-in mm-hmm. and you help lower the cost of health insurance, can't you hypothetically, in turn, down the road, I'm not saying you make the decision right now, but you've saved money. There is money now saved that can go to other things, like paying higher wages because you took the $6,900 away from everybody.
You have to stop. You have to stop equating the flex benefit with your wage.
I'm not equating it with a wage.
Sure, you are because now you're asking us to go back because we're taking that flex benefit away. Now you're asking us to go back and give you more money in your salary.
Yeah, that's what you're.
It's on my W-2.
Right.
Right, because you choose to take it in cash.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what. But I know I choose to take it.
Sure,
and
so
I'm not saying that it equates to a wage, but somehow it's money that goes into a W-2.
You're equating it to a wage when you're asking us if we're saving money, if we can give you more money in your salary.
You've saved money by getting a better health insurance plan. What are you going to do with those?
Theoretically, we may save money. And you know, Adam, I don't know you. I've met you a couple of times, but I spent a lot of time negotiating contracts for the sheriff's office. And we had a lot of discussions about health insurance. And 20 years ago, we said, you know, at some point, this flex cash is going to go away. The county is not always going to be able to provide this benefit, or they're not always going to provide this benefit. At one point, we tried to get more flex cash for people that had to take family insurance. So it didn't hit them so hard, and at that time, the county wasn't interested in it. But what it comes down to is the county has decided to give you the $575. Whether you choose to purchase insurance with that or not, that's your choice. And if you didn't, and you built your budget around that extra $575 a month, that was a choice you made. You chose to do that. So you can't come back now and expect the county to raise your salary to make up for the fact that we can no longer give you the cash option on your benefit package.
Let me clarify something. I'm not saying that it's my salary. To be quite honest, it's not going to hurt me. But what I'm saying is it's going to hurt other people.
Sure it is.
Because they're going to have to find insurance some other way. I'm not saying that it's hurting me.
But the thing I'd ask you to consider is the employee that comes here that's a single breadwinner in the family, and they have to provide family insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So we give them $575 a month,
mm-hmm.
and then we expect them to pay another $1,000 a month out of their pocket to provide that family insurance, that family benefit. And it's at some point down the road, I think there's going to be people that are going to look at that and say, you know, if we're paying whatever we decide we're going to pay, what percentage of that family premium we're going to pay, if it's 80% or whatever it is, that's a pretty good benefit. That's pretty comparable to what my wife has and what she pays. I think we're selling ourselves short if we're just looking at that $575 a month. It's going to hurt me. I'm glad it's not going to affect you. I'm paying college tuition for two kids. It's going to affect me. That $7,000 a year equates to about a third of a year's tuition at Iowa State. So, yeah, it's going to affect me. But I know down the road at some point we're going to have potential employees come here and look at, hey, look, Story County's paying whatever we decide to do, 80% of my family health care plan. Wow, that's a pretty good benefit.
I guess that's what I'm getting at. What are you going to do to counteract? And that's what I've asked.
That's what we're trying to do.
We've got
working on those options and looking at things. We're having to do this step by step. This is the first step based on the information that we've had, is to communicate to you in a timely fashion, you know, where we are. And now we're working on exploring various options that, you know, may be available for us, so that as soon as we have something that we can present as some options for the board to consider, you know, then that's when that information will be done. And we need to do that sooner than later, knowing what the July 1st target date is.
And the other thing, every one of you guys sitting here from the sheriff's office is a member of bargaining unit. And we're going to have to reopen those contracts to talk about the insurance benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys will have a voice in how that's going to look. So you can structure that however you guys want to structure it, as long as it meets the Affordable Care Act guidelines. So what we decide we're going to do for all the non-bargaining unit employees may or may not affect you guys. You guys can bargain for whatever benefit or however you want to slice that benefit. But the only thing I'm going to ask you guys is don't focus on the money you can put in your paycheck. Because when you guys are no longer here and there's potential employees that are coming to want to work for the sheriff's office, they're going to be tied to that contract, and they're going to be tied to the decisions you guys make here in the next few weeks with your negotiations on this insurance package.
And I guess my last comment, and I am done, what I want to voice is my frustration that what you guys have just said. You realized 2.5 years ago that this could have been a problem, could. And yet, because you thought that the issue wasn't going to be a problem, you didn't explore any other option.
That's not true.
No, that's not true.
Not even close to accurate.
That's not true.
That's not option that you said was that you called.
We looked at our entire insurance package at that point. At that, and I got called out on this, Adam. At that point, I suggested that the county move away or explore moving away from the flex cash option. And I was shouted down like you wouldn't believe exactly what we're going through right now. And so I moved on. And I said, you know what? I'm a numbers guy. I like numbers. From a budgetary perspective, from a treating every employee equal perspective, man, this is a great thing, right? It's easy to budget. You treat every employee the same. Yeah, it's not great for the people who need the family insurance. Yes, we're having trouble maybe attracting employees, but you know what? It works for Story County. Let's go. But we went through and we did a complete look at our insurance system. We hired a broker to help us through the navigating the process. To suggest that we didn't do anything is a complete misnomer. We just made the decision that we were going to continue with Flex as long as we could, and we found out on January 2nd of this year that we can't anymore. And everything else is based on that. If we hadn't found that out on January 2nd, we wouldn't be having any of these conversations. It would be simple. We would be done with the Flex portion of the budget, and we'd be moving on. We can't do that now.
My point was anything else. What I just said was anything.
I don't know what that means.
You did hire the broker. I understand. You did one thing, but you didn't have other plans.
What do you think a broker does? We hired the broker and they just sit there?
But okay. What I'm saying is there are other options that you could have explored.
We did explore other options.
Okay.
Yeah.
we'd have been having this conversation 2 years ago if we decided 2 years ago that we were going to eliminate the flex benefit. At any point over the past 20 years, if we decided we were going to go away from giving flex cash and providing whatever percentage of a policy we determined, we'd have had this conversation. Because the vast majority of the employees don't take advantage of the insurance. They take that $575 and they put it in their paycheck. And that's what I've done since the day it became available. So, I mean, I'm in the same boat you guys are in. Just keep in mind what I said about when you guys open that contract and you sit down and negotiate.
But Adam and Brett, we do appreciate
absolutely
you being here.
This conversation is needed.
Last night, having everybody here to hear Susan and so forth, that communication is so critical. And it also helps us sometimes hear other possible options and other things that maybe we hadn't thought about that will all be factored in the overall research that's going to take place over the next, week, month or two as we try to come up with a plan and an offering that is going to benefit Story County employees. Mm-hmm. So without that, then we're operating in a vacuum. And that's not the way that we have historically liked to govern here at Story County. It's all about inclusiveness. Mm-hmm. It's all about every employee, every department head, every elected official, ever since I've been on this board, have been viewed as part of a collective team to provide the necessary services to the citizens of Story County. You and your colleagues are essential for us to do what we do. And we appreciate very much you being here and raising these questions, expressing these concerns.
Well, it's really, really an important conversation. It's the reason that I sent the email out that I did, where I had no answers, just questions, on Monday the 5th. The frustrating part, the only frustrating part, it's still necessary to talk about, but the only frustrating part for me is when people start trying to make assumptions about what has or has not happened to this point, when the board is trying to go through this in as methodical and open a way as is possible, knowing that we've got to reach a decision in very short order. The frustrating part is we're still in the beginning of this. I mean, we're not in the middle. We're not anywhere close to the end. I keep hoping we're close to the end of the beginning, but we're still at the beginning of this. And we've got to figure out how to get all the way through this process in time that we can certify a budget in the middle of March and be ready to go on July 1st. There's a lot of moving parts, and what is not helpful at all is when there's these assumptions or assertion of fact that aren't even close. I mean, aren't even close to what the facts really are. And while I don't expect, while it'd be great if there was some level of trust with this board based on the way we've operated, I don't really expect that. But I do expect at least a modicum of we're doing more than just sitting here going, oh, yeah, here's the decision we want to make right now. All right, good conversation. Let's move on. Consideration of minutes, the January 13th minutes.
Move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any corrections or additions? Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Minutes passed. Consideration of personnel actions as listed.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda. Please add utility permit 1544.
Move approval with noted addition.
Second.
Motion and a second. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. No public hearing items today. Additional items. Discussion and consideration of Director of External Operations and County Services and Director of Internal Operations and Human Resources. This is mine. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you, guys.
I think that I'll kick it off. Alyssa, if you want to start to head to the microphone, because I know I'm going to have some questions for you, and I'm sure the board will as well. So this came about. This is straight out of the mind of Rick Sanders is where this started. I was looking at the structure of Story County, how we operate, what reports to the Board of Supervisors, and how we administer those prior to this board being seated in office, the way the board used to operate. And, Wayne, you'll have to help me through this. With all of their department heads is they would have every other week, I think they would meet with department heads on Monday mornings collectively. The three supervisors would meet with those department heads. I thought early on that it was at least in the gray area of inappropriate for open meetings, maybe crossing the line, was not comfortable with it. So when Paul and I sat down together with Wayne for the first time, I told him, I said, I'm not comfortable with this mode of operation. I think it's too close to the line, and I'd like us to figure something else out. We did, really to Wayne's credit as much as anybody, we did. What we did is we went to liaisons where each individual supervisor has different department heads reporting through them to the Board of Supervisors. It seemed to work pretty well, although I find it a little disjointed. I don't find it to be, if you were reading management structure 101, it's not the system that you would lay out where department heads had access to one-third of the decision makers and frankly, sometimes some inconsistencies in the way things are administered. So I got to looking at what do other counties like size in Story County have, and took some ideas from some of those and started to piece together what Story County looks like and came up with an operation that I believe suits Story County's needs. It suits Story County's needs without the addition of any staff and with minimal impact to any salaries. And that's what I presented, and that is in the packet. It's the flow chart that you guys have both seen.
Yeah.
And basically what it does is it splits operations under the board into an internal and external component. I went to Alyssa Wignall, and Alyssa, how long ago was this that we started talking about that I came to you with this idea?
I don't know if it was like September, yeah. October, early fall.
I would have said 6 months ago, but somewhere in the 5-6 months ago range. that I came to listen. I started talking about it, and I asked her to do some research of what other counties do, what other job descriptions look like in this administrative level. And then I went one step further, and I went ahead and identified who I believe fits in a, as we restructure without creating positions, if we move our current personnel around, who fits in these positions. The first one was Director of Internal Operations, and that one was actually really, really easy for me to identify, and that was Alyssa Wignall, who is our current HR director. She would, in this new structure, she would also assume oversight for facilities and for IT, which is generally a function that she performs with facilities as we currently exist, and in some functions with IT as we currently exist. I don't view this, frankly, as even a new position. I view this as recognition of where Story County has moved in that one area. The second position that I got to looking at is how Story County relates to the citizens of Story County, and we have been so fortunate. Story County has been so fortunate for so many years to have Deb Shildroth in our community services and handling that part of the services provided to Story County residents. Deb is phenomenal, and I believe she would be phenomenal moving into this position of Director of External Operations. Along with that, she would have Veterans Affairs, Community Services, Secondary Roads, Planning and Development. Am I missing one?
Animal Control.
And Animal Control, reporting up through her. Tell me about, before we get into the question and answer, I ask you these questions. When this board was seated together, how many employees did Story County have all in? All employees, all inclusive.
I pulled about 423. That includes community life program, all their PRNs.
That's everything. Every employee that Story County had all in, including community life, was 423. And including community life today, where are we?
392.
So down. Mm-hmm. Knowing that there's big changes in community life, and there have been over the last couple of years, if you deduct community life from both of those numbers, where were we in 2011? Where are we today?
2011, 259 and then a half position.
259 and a half.
Yep, and today we have 259.
So Debbie, approved. And we've had some additions, we've had some subtractions. I mean, we've reorganized in some areas. I think of Board of Health, I think of Planning and Development. I mean, we've done some things, but a net loss of a half job in Story County, not including CLP, since this board's been seated.
Yes.
This proposal adds how many jobs to Story County's structure? Zero is the answer. Yeah. Add zero to Story County. We would start at 259, not counting CLP, and we would be at 259, not counting CLP. With that, I would open it up to questions from the board.
I don't have any questions. I just wanted to say how much I value and appreciate sitting here listening and recognizing the work that you and Alyssa, working alongside of Jessica as needed, has put in to bringing something like this for consideration. You know, it's easy for me to sit and say or think that, you know, well, we've been operating very efficiently for many years. When you compare Story County in terms of our counterparts throughout the state, you know, I think that we have shown to be an outstanding county in providing a level of service and so forth under the structure that we used. But it is no for us as we move forward in the 21st century, and any time we have a change or makeup of leadership, sometimes, you know, people take a look at is there a different way of doing things? And if we do something different, could there be some different outcomes? Or is there some things that we have had on the back burner that we wanted to do, but because of positioning of personnel, we have not been able to function or move in that direction. And I've seen over the last four now and going into the five years that with the strategic planning, the visioning, and the things that you guys have brought to the table, in my opinion, has positioned Story County to a stellar position, even above and beyond what we have been in previous years. And I look at the utilization of the expertise of our staff and departments by utilizing their expertise in a more creative way, but at the same time allowing us to expand operations and services. And it has really been a joy for me to sit and be a part of that process. And I can't think of any negatives that has popped up that I would say that we should have done something different. And so I just wanted to compliment you and Alyssa and the folks that you've worked with. I know I talked to Deb some months ago when this concept was first mentioned, that there was the possibility of at least exploring a different structure. And she did express an interest of, in terms of us looking at some options. And so I think, you know, what I know that we have right here, I think we've got the right people in place and we've got the right mechanism in place. And I think it's going to serve us well if we decide to adopt this and move forward. That's just from someone that's, you
well,
know,
I,
had a
I
great
really
deal of pleasure
those,
from
yeah,
the past.
I really appreciate those thoughts, and it does fit in. This does fit in with the planning and the visioning that we've done. It does fit in with solid management practices. It is absolutely intended to give our department heads more support rather than less, you know, rather than more oversight. It's intended to give them more support and more clear direction of the policies and direction that the board sets. But at the end of the day, all of these proposals, we all need to remember, and we need to remember in every decision that we make, that Story County government exists solely because of the people of Story County and solely for the people of Story County. And so if we ever make decisions that ultimately don't benefit the people of Story County or don't benefit them at least the same at a reduced cost or increased benefits for negligible costs, it's all about the cost-benefit analysis for the people of Story County. I think this very clearly does that. The reality is, for one of the positions, Director of Internal Operations, you're not really talking about a change in day-to-day, talking about change in responsibility, and you're talking about a change probably in budget time, but you're not talking about a change in day-to-day for Alyssa a whole lot. You are absolutely talking about a change in day-to-day for Deb Shildroth and a change in day-to-day for community services as we would Deb's move would necessitate that we go into community services and reorganize somewhat in there to be more responsive in this new more regionalized system that we're operating in, which I view more as an opportunity than anything else. Paul, you got thoughts?
Sure. You know, we talked about this initially a week ago, Monday, when we started our budget session, and we did say that there, if this was approved, there was going to be some costs involved, mainly because we're going to have to split our conference room into two offices. And that's a negligible cost. I think it was about $1,000 when they did a when they put the wall in to make Leanne's office down the hall. So
there are salary implications, and Alyssa, I'll ask you to talk about this. So with these two job descriptions, let's start with the external as it relates to the way Deb's current position, Director of Community Services, versus this. How does it score out on our salary structure?
The Director of External Operations, both of these positions score out at a grade 16.
Okay,
with the
grade 16.
The current Community Services Director job description scores out at a grade 15.
At a grade 15, so
yep.
It's up one grade there.
One grade.
And then current HR Director scores out at?
A 14.
A 14, and this would take it to a 16.
Mm-hmm.
So the salary implications would be in those two
grades.
Grade
yep.
changes.
Yep, and the minimum for a grade 16 is $66,190.
Okay.
And then, I mean, you can look at the max. We don't have anybody at the max or even close to it, is 99,000.
Okay.
Midpoint's 82.
Okay.
And some of the comments last week were concerning whether or not this would make the Board of Supervisors too management heavy, whether or not it would negate some of the duties that we were elected to perform. You know, how many employees do we have that through a director answered to the Board of Supervisors outside of elected officials?
With directors included, you have 145. That includes CLP at this point.
Yeah. So larger than any other elected official by a long way with no real management staff. I mean, if we want to go through and we want to look at elected office by elected office, number of employees and number of management staff, it's not even in the ballpark.
You do have your directors that would be considered.
Right.
Yeah.
And
still not even in the ballpark.
And I've only been at this just over 4 years, and I don't believe, and if I'm incorrect, then I would ask anybody to stand up and tell me otherwise, but I have never interjected myself into another elected official's office, and I wouldn't do it. I don't care if I sit on this board for 20 years. I'll never tell another elected official how to run their office. And I would expect the same response from another elected official. And I understand that change is different, and this is not something that Story County has ever done in the past. But if this Board of Supervisors chooses to change the management style of their office, then it's our purview to do that. Mm-hmm. And I'll take all the comments you want to give me and all the input you want to give me, but what it boils down to is that this is the decision that the three of us are going to make.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And when I worked for John Stark a long time ago, he used to tell me, if you've got a better way or you think you have a better way of how to run my office,
what's your name on the ballot?
The filing period for your nomination papers is in March.
Yep.
And I would tell anybody that works for Story County, if you think you've got a better way or a better idea of how to run things, absolutely take advantage of the system that we're in right now and run for the Board of Supervisors, and then you can sit up here and be the one that makes these decisions. And with that, I'm done.
Okay.
Do we need a motion for this individually, or you want to do them?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah. We'd be glad to take comments from anybody.
Thank you for the opportunity. Appreciate it. Just a few things. I did make some comments. I'm Lucy Martin, Story County Auditor. I did make some comments last Monday morning. I've had some time to think about it, and I appreciate that it's coming through a public meeting and there is an opportunity to make comments. I've been doing budgets for going on 20 years now, and which makes me feel kind of old, but that's the truth. So someday everyone in this room will no longer work for Story County, but everything we do creates a structure that other people will live with over time. So if somebody, and like I say, I've been looking at budgets for a long time, if an office of six people presented a budget that said we're losing 40% of the full-time staff that we currently oversee with direct oversight, we would like two additional people. We're going to take them from other areas in the county so that those will have to make up the difference. We're asking for a bump in salary for an existing member, and we've already received one additional staff member this fiscal year. I would have a lot of comments to make on the budgetary side of that. I have not heard that the liaison system is poor. I wonder about the loss of transparency, where everything now must come to a board meeting for discussion because only one of you is liaising with your department heads. I think you do hire department heads to do the management job to oversee all of these people. And I'm talking also about the item two. So, forgive me for consolidating those two. So on the HR side, we are losing one union.
And Lucy, if we can just start with this. Okay, I understand.
Can I just finish my comments?
Absolutely. I want to correct one thing that you've already said in your comments, and I just want to keep us accurate. So you said that the board has one additional position now. We don't have one additional position. In fact, what we did is a first step at restructuring, and we took who was a direct report to the board, planning and development director, and moved her into a position of community outreach, still reporting to the board, did not create any new positions there, so that's not an additional position. It's not, I mean, it's just not. It doesn't increase the number of people that report through the Board of Supervisors, and I just want us to be accurate if we're going to talk about this and go down this road. This is a different road than we've ever gone down, elected official to elected official,
right.
And it opens a door.
And I appreciate your comments about, you know, not just living with the status quo, but right now, and I'm directing you back to your comments from earlier this meeting, in my opinion, we don't know what the status quo is. The status quo right now for the county is crumbling beneath us. That's cause for a lot
I
of alarm.
That is.
It's been very distressing to watch the slow death of CLP.
That's crumbling beneath of us, Lucy.
Well, you said we're all going through pain because of the flexible. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what that's going to cost. Okay, and every indication is that it's going to cost the
county
more.
That's not crumbling, though. Crumbling is if we reach a solution.
We don't know what July 1st is going to look like.
Right, but that's not crumbling. That's unknown. That's different than crumbling. I wish you would not go to these superlatives. We didn't get it on audio, but when you start making statements like you made Monday morning and like you're making right now, where you're going to superlative kind of statements that aren't even close to accurate, it doesn't help anything. Just tone it down just a little. Just tone it down a little.
Okay, thanks, Dad. I'm talking about just budgetarily. If someone came to you with this proposal, what would your response be? For 5 years, you've said, let's be a lean, mean fighting machine. Let's not do things with staff that we don't need to do, but.
And how have we done? How have we done over that time?
I think everyone is, I'm talking about, we have a good team here. I'm talking about if you take all the people out of this, what does this look like? What does this look like?
How has this Board of Supervisors done in being lean and efficient and the things we proposed, the initiatives that we brought forward, how have we done?
I think across the county we've done a good job, but you're kind of throwing all of that credibility away with this proposal.
I don't see that for one second. I see this as an enhancement.
And you say, you know, we're going through pain and we're all in the same boat. I think you're creating a safe haven for your particular office where you are softening the blow of what's coming for everybody. And, yeah, we're all in the same boat, but some people are down in steerage. Most of the people are down in steerage, and some people are in first-class cabins. So I think you need to think about the broader implications of this proposal and what it means to morale in the county, what it means to your credibility as a board to make blanket statements and set the tone for every budget session. I mean, that worries me going forward. And like I say, everyone in this room one day will no longer work for Story County, but you're creating a structure that will be here for a long time if this proposal goes through. Thank you very much.
Anybody else have anything they'd like to say? County Attorney Stephen Holmes.
Well, the audience is apparently filled with primarily members of the county, what I'd like to just simply say is to address the factual changes that have taken place that the board has had to deal with. First of all, in terms of the state government's decision with respect to how they're going to treat mental health, that was a decision beyond our control. And now Story County had been unique, I think, among counties in its attempt or its measures that it had taken in that regard. Our group home, our group homes, our community center, those were all innovations that Story County took that were, I think, far and above a lot of other counties. And I think things to be proud of. Now, when the state made its decision to place us into a group of counties and to fund mental health differently, that caught everyone sort of in the lurch. And I think that you as a board should be complimented and the members of the county should be complimented because you have worked very hard, from what I can see, and as far as my part in it, along with Jessica, to attempt to comply with the law and the changes and to find a system that is going to be suitable in its place. Now, again, the discussions that I've been listening to concerning the Affordable Health Care Act are similar. These are decisions that are coming from other places, and these are decisions that the board needs to find a solution to and is finding a solution to. And really, emotions, I know, enter in. I mean, I'm going to be affected much like others in this matter. So I think we all have to be tolerant and we all have to be understanding that the board is working to try and find these solutions. And this isn't a matter of drama. It's a matter of using what we have been given and applying what we can to resolve it. And now with respect to the board's authority here, in running Story County, the county is a subdivision of the government of the state of Iowa, and the board acts as the executive and the legislative in the county. They have broad authority, and to accomplish their goals, they have broad authority to hire and employ people at their disposal. Now, the positions that we're talking about are positions that already exist in the county. The board has simply decided to transfer, as I understand, two people, and change a description somewhat of another person who is working for the board. Now, there is nothing wrong with that. And this board has undertaken a number of incentives to assist smaller communities in the county, to encourage business to come to this county, to work with many organizations. And all of those things take the board's time. And if the board decides that they need help and assistance in doing that, there isn't anything wrong with it, and it's not illegal, in my opinion. And so I think that superlatives and couching matters in terms of gloom and doom are not beneficial. This board has undertaken a lot. They should be complimented on their willingness to undertake these matters. And I think that they have done more than their fair share of attempting to make these matters above board. And I don't think they're trying to hide anything at all. And I don't think that's a fair characterization. And so these matters are going to continue, as the board has indicated. They're here to explain their decisions, and I wish everyone would just listen and help them to accomplish what they want to accomplish, which I think will be for everyone's benefit.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to address the board on this topic?
Good morning. Deb Schildrath with Community Services, and we've been talking a lot about the structure that will occur within the board's office, and I just wanted to briefly touch upon how that relates then to changes in the community services office. I've been with the county for almost 25 years, have primarily worked in the human services field, and feel that in all those years of employment with the county, we've always, no matter what department it is that you work with, and including the board, there's always been that support as change is brought upon us, whether we initiate the change or that the change is required through other means. I believe within the community services office today, we have the right people in the right places to be able to assume the duties without adding additional staff. And so we've been putting together some preliminary ideas on how that will look and what duties will remain with community services, what duties would go with me if this new proposal is passed. And that then also extends into how that affects the region. I'm currently the regional administrator for the Central Iowa Community Services region. The region's worked on mapping out functions for various people to fulfill. We were pretty much near completion of that when this proposal has come forward. So that's put the region in a little bit of a lurch, but I'm fully confident that we will work out a plan as to how to redistribute those duties and functions. It takes up a lot of time. The regional work in concert with what community services is required to do continues to fit together very well, and I'm just confident that we'll be able to find a plan to meet the needs of community services and in the region as we move forward on that.
Thanks, Deb. Yeah, there were a lot of gaping mouths. I went before the regional administrative team. When was that, Deb?
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, two weeks ago, and wanted them to hear it straight from me that I was coming and presenting this to you, and they were I think they understood completely, because when you work with somebody like Deb, you understand trying to get even more benefit out of her, but I think they were shocked.
Well, not only were they shocked, I presented this to the ISAC Board of Directors at our meeting. Jamie Cashman just about came out of his seat, and he says, "Oh, my gosh." He says, what a joy and a jewel you all have. He said, "I will just miss working directly with her on the mental health issues as we go before the legislature and so forth." I said, "Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that she won't be able to interact with you as far as the work at the legislative." I said, "It's just that her role in community service would basically be changed." But I had such glowing comments from Bill Peterson and members of the ISAC staff about you, Deb, and the impact that you've made. And the comment was, is I can see why Story County would want to do everything that they could to keep her abreast and use her expertise in a variety of ways. And to me, that's as high a compliment as we could give any employee, that you have established yourself statewide, not only through Mental Health Commission, but also through your work with DHS and other departments. And I have certainly appreciate the level of service and dedication that you've given to Story County.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Margaret James, Environmental Health.
Mm-hmm.
This proposal doesn't impact me directly, but there's 2 points that I'm uncomfortable with on this. One is you tell us to document why we need a position, and you're claiming that this will be more efficient, and I haven't heard anyone, you know, from this line back agree that there's going to be increased efficiency in this plan. Okay. I think it's an insult to the directors where you think that things are being run inefficiently and that you need another level of communication. I think that's an insult to the directors that we currently have. They're all doing a great job. Okay. And then the other point that I want to make is that now we have four potential positions in management that no one has been given the opportunity to compete for those jobs. So the special projects position, the planning and development position, and now these two positions have been, you know, these people have been tapped on the shoulder to move forward and take those positions. And it seems like, at very least, internally, people should be given the opportunity to compete for those jobs. And I think that it is giving the county is giving the message out there to don't bother applying with this county because we have shoe-ins that are going to be given these jobs anyway. And I think that you're sort of, keeping a lot of talent. You're not welcoming a glance at other talent that's out there to compete for these jobs. Four management positions, that's a lot of positions.
Where's the four management positions?
She's talking about these two and community outreach and planning and development. And what I don't, so Margaret, really appreciate the comments. I don't get at one point you're talking about what great directors and great staff we have and what a great job they're doing, mm-hmm. and then criticizing utilizing that exact same pool of staff and talent to get more out of them and do more for Story County. To me, those two statements don't fit together very well.
Well, for example, maybe there was another director that would be, not myself, because that is not my bailiwick, but other people that have management skills that would be interested in taking those jobs. It just seemed like it was all developed,
Sure. The difference between the two, the difference between the two, and Paul equated this right away. There is a difference between what staff proposes and even other elected officials propose that Story County does, and something that the Board of Supervisors proposes, and that is the Board of Supervisors statutorily are empowered to make the decision, not staff, not other elected officials, depending on what decision you're talking about. But when you're talking about the structure of Story County, mm-hmm. that authority resides with the Board of Supervisors.
Oh, you're and legal. So, you're legal.
More than legal. We're doing exactly, not a dangerous precedent.
No, it's
in
not.
My view, it is doing what we're supposed to be doing, which is looking at the structure and efficiency of Story County. And I think it's completely reasonable, and I support anybody who disagrees that this is the right structure or creates more efficiency. That's great. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. The three opinions that matter most for this purpose are these three right here. And if you look at this board's track record over the last going on 5 years now, we're batting about 1,000, damn near 1,000 on, and we've done a lot of different things. I mean, to suggest that all we've done is cut and not implement new services and new programs and increase support for different areas, I think is the most superficial possible look. Yes, have we cut overall spending in the county? Absolutely. Are we more efficient? Sure we are. We've increased our funding of the asset process by 25%. We've increased roads and bridges funding by 15%. We've increased our support to local communities and economic development by a substantial amount. I mean, this board, we've done more planning in 4 years, Wayne, than the board, than the board had taken on in your entire previous time. Yeah, this board has been really, really active, and in my mind, however this goes, this is another step in that actively trying to create a better structure and better operation for Story County, and it's exactly what we're here to do. You don't have to agree, but it's exactly what we're here to do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Hi, Barb.
Hi.
Barb Steinbeck, Information Technology. I'm not here to ask an opinion or anything. I just want to offer a comment on something that Lucy said. And you criticized her use of the word crumbling. From what me and my staff have observed, I think that is dead on, crumbling morale. And I say this because IT touches almost every department in the county. So my staff comes back, and I'm like, oh, why were you gone so long? Well, so-and-so wanted to talk. My office is located on the other side of the lunchroom, so I hear a lot of stuff, too. I just know that people are frustrated. I've already gotten people in my department saying they may have to leave. The morale is crumbling.
You're referring to Flex? I mean, when you say that, you're referring to Flex? What are you referring to when you've got people
that may have to leave?
Well, sure.
And I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm just saying I think We need to recognize it, and looking at the attendance for last night's meeting, it shows people are scared, they're concerned.
I think that's completely reasonable. I think being scared and concerned until we know what's going to be in place, and we don't know yet.
Right.
I think being scared and concerned is completely reasonable. In fact, it would be unreasonable not to be a little apprehensive and concerned about this, plain and simple. Maybe it's semantics, but when you start making statements like scared and concerned equates to crumbling, you don't know if it equates to crumbling until you know what the decision is. Maybe it'll be a terrible decision, awful, and things will crumble. But being scared and concerned is not necessarily the same as crumbling.
I guess we have a different definition of that.
I guess so.
And I know change is hard for people, and that's part of what's driving this. But I know a lot of time has been wasted. People, and I try to encourage my staff not to join into those conversations, but a lot of time has been wasted, people complaining and wondering what the future will look like. Mm-hmm. So that's just offered as a comment.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that comment, Barb. There were a couple directions this board could have gone, and I'll put it on me. Since I was newly elected chair of the board on the second, you know, congratulations. Oh, by the way, we don't have flex anymore. I made the decision that we were not going to keep this close to the, we could have easily kept it close to the chest. We'd have gone through the process. We'd have tried to figure something out. And the first that employees would have heard of anything is when we reopened, negotiations with our bargaining units on that item. We could have honest to goodness, we could have done that. We could have kicked it all the way into the spring. We had lots of time, and I made the decision that we weren't going to do that. And I fully recognize and accept that by making that decision, I created a lot of angst among our employees that didn't have to be there if I'd have just kept my mouth shut and not shared with employees the reality of our situation. And I made the decision that the right thing to do was to keep our employees informed every step of the way, good, bad, or indifferent, every step of the way. This board fully recognizes and accepts its position as the body that has to make the decision. And you look back at this board, we don't duck decisions. We tackle them. Sometimes we make a lot of people mad. Sometimes we make a lot of people happy. But we tackle decisions. So we're not trying to abdicate the decision to anybody. We're just trying to keep everybody informed. And I recognize that that creates concern. It creates questions. We don't know where we're going to be.
Sure.
That creates real questions and real angst. I get it.
I think a lot of the morale problem can look at it and say it's the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen with the flex. I'm just going to say it again. I've been a county employee for a long time, 35 years, and I've had a lot of conversations about morale. Up to a point, it's the responsibility of management. I think we offer a pretty good place to work. I think we pay pretty competitive salaries. There's a lot of discussion about what our benefit package is right now. I have all the confidence in the world that we're going to have a better benefit package to offer our employees after the first year. But after a point, management can't take responsibility for morale. People sit around the lunchroom, exactly like you said, and they talk about flex. The board's taking my $6,900 a year away from me, and they're going to throw it into somebody's salary that we don't really need. Well, the fact of the matter is, if we approve these positions, we're not hiring only just one, and we haven't talked about that yet. It's the new HR position. These two positions are one of them's already in half of that position is the HR director, and the other position will be a transfer. So we're not taking that money and throwing it from one place to the other. There's only so much that management can do for morale, and I think honestly we provide a pretty good environment for our employees here at Story County. I really think we do. And if it comes down to somebody having to leave employment here because they absolutely cannot make ends meet because we were forced to change the way we administer our flex, I feel bad for that person, and I hate to lose employees. if we've got a good employee and we've got a good long-term employee, we want to keep those employees.
Definitely.
And that's why I think we do what we do to try to make this a good place to work. I mean, everybody knows, and I'll say it again, employees here went for 2 years without an increase. If you're outside of a bargaining unit,
I've heard that, yes.
You went for 2 years without an increase. The first thing this current board did, was give everybody a pay increase for the first time in 2 years. So I think we're doing what we can do to keep this a good place to work. But when the rumor mill starts, that's when morale goes downhill.
And I'm not here to criticize. I'm just here to tell you I'm hearing a lot of stuff, and it's taking time out of all the employees, and I don't know if there's a fix for it.
Well, the fix is to get to the end of it.
Fast forward.
And make the decision, and we're going to have, if I'm even close to right in where I think this is going, we're going to have some people that are really, really happy. We're going to have some people that are okay happy, and we're going to have some people that are going to be really, really mad.
True.
And we're going to have to deal with that.
Barb, I appreciate your comments. I appreciate everyone's comments through this process. I can tell you when we made the first change 4 years ago, when these guys came on board to change our structure of our meetings with department heads and so forth, that in itself was a major change for a lot of our department heads. You know, the fact that all three of us could sit there informally and have some information shared about what's going on in those departments and so forth was something that they had gotten used to, were comfortable with, felt that they could really express, you know, to us what was happening on a day-to-day basis, and knew that if any decisions that had to be made, they were going to be made in a formal board proceedings, wasn't a real adjustment for a lot of them. And I know that I feel that the liaison approach that we have now has worked, but it is disjointed in terms of we don't all hear the exact same information shared amongst one or the others until it is actually presented to us in a more formalized way. And sometimes that in itself, when all three of us are looking at it, you're trying to sit here trying to think to yourself, do I have all the background information, all of the pieces of information? So nothing was really wrong with what we did, but it was that perception that we might be crossing the line in terms of violating the open meetings law because all three supervisors were sitting there during those informal structures. So any change from the normal flow and operations, for some people, some see it as opportunities to expand how they do things. Others see it as, you know, something that, oh my gosh, you know, this is just not something that I'm comfortable with, because they've gotten comfortable in terms of their day-to-day operations or who they report to and so forth. And just adding another person in the mix becomes an adjustment.
Yes.
That's a normal human response. Mm-hmm. And we believe that the people that are in positions to assist the board have the expertise and the ability to make this system be better than what it currently is right now. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be at this point of trying to make that determination if we had any doubts.
Barb, thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody else? All right, board, I'll turn to you.
I would move approval of the both positions of external operations director and internal operations director.
And I wholeheartedly endorse that with a strong second.
All right, we have a motion, a second. Further discussion or comments? Paul?
Aye.
I have no comments. Nothing. I've
comments.
Said enough.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll do the vote again. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders.
Aye.
It passes. We've got our next item is discussion and consideration of a human resources generalist, and we're going to do that, but we're going to do it in 5 minutes.
Maybe I get some more water.